Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every...
Rams Nation, what's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Lockdown Rams. It's the Friday edition of Lockdown Rams. You didn't hear that wonderful voice in the background. We are super jacked, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. I am bringing you back the man, the myth, the Kroger, James Kroger from Rams Podcast. James, welcome back, my man. How you been?
Woo! Bear, I've been doing good. I had to get on the intro because I missed it so much, and hearing it on this side, I was mouthing it like I always do. So I had to get a little teaser of my voice in there. But dude, I'm doing great. Thank you for inviting me back on the show. I'm super jacked to be here. It's funny, we were texting earlier and you said I need to dust off my mic. Well, I literally dusted off my mic. It had dust all over it. And my headphones. But I was happy to do so, and I'm super jacked to be here, man.
Well, dude, I'm super jacked to have you. I mean, I know obviously for everyone that's either new to the podcast and haven't heard James before, or if you go way back in the days in the beginning of Rams Podcast, then you know this is where it really started. But I know obviously having the baby and, you know, the move, and you were doing a bunch of stuff, you know, kind of getting your house together. So I understood taking some time off, especially after the Super Bowl and where that kind of ended. But yeah, random text here and there to you to kind of tease you to come on the podcast. I got a lot of the, you know, coming on soon, man, don't worry. And then finally we got the yes, we got the approval. We're dusted off the mic, like you said. So, I mean, I guess just out the gate, you know, we'll get to talk some football, but how's life as a dad going? What's going on with that? How's big man? How's he coming along? Baby James, how's everything?
It's amazing, man. All the dads out there know how amazing it is. He's about 4.5 months at this point, and you may hear him a couple times during the show in the background. He loves his own voice, you know, kind of like Uncle Bear. We didn't get that from Dad, but yeah, I'm on dad duty at night. My wife has been working a bit at night remotely, so I'm doing dad duty right now. So that's kind of what I've been up to. Just any extra time I have spending with him. Obviously, work's been really busy for me, and then I picked up some side stuff. So, dude, after the Super Bowl, I hit my off season too, man. You know, the players and everybody has to have it, but I got to give you props, dude. You've just been going full steam ahead, pedal to the metal, and we're putting up all this content. It's been amazing to see, because me, I just, you know, got too much going on. I got overwhelmed. I had to step away, take a break, do my off season stuff, be a dad. You know, super young kid. So, you know, any free time I have, I just want to be with him and hang out and do dad stuff and take massive amounts of video. I'm out of storage on my phone already. So, dude, it's been amazing. I've, you know, kind of got my break from football. But once the draft happened, I will admit I did watch the draft, and I've been kind of just, you know, having my eyes wander back towards the Rams and everything that's been going on. And now that the rookies are here and we're getting rolling, I you know, you texted me at the right time. I was in such a mood to talk to you, and then you're like, hey, would you mind coming on tomorrow? Heck yes, dude. So everything's been great, and I'm like I said, I'm happy that we're headed back towards the season beginning, man. I'm super jacked.
That's awesome, man. Well, you know, congratulations on everything you got going on. And, you know, you're sending over baby snaps left and right, and I love them. You asked me even before we started, like, if it's too much, let me know. But I'll be running across the apartment to my girlfriend to try to get the snap and show what's going on. And, you know, he's adorable, and you guys look like you're having a blast. And you've really gotten a lot of awesome projects done at the house, except for set up the podcast studio, which it sounds like me and you both are slacking on that. I've got an extra room in the house that I still have not gotten set up my studio fully yet. So maybe we'll have like a podcast studio building session. I'll come down. I'll help you with yours. You come up and we'll knock them out. But glad to have you back on, man. I was so excited when you said yes and we could get back on here, and, you know, we could have almost a whole other podcast just about life before we get to football. But that's why we're here. We're talking Rams football. You talked about kind of stepping away from the game and, you know, having time with life and how players do that and having your little off season. So I guess with that, did it work? Are you fully recovered from that Super Bowl loss? Do you feel better? You know, like, what's your thoughts on the last time you saw the Rams and where your heart and head's at right now?
Well, dude, I mean, I think you kind of got my status when you were trying to get me on to the podcast, you know, a few weeks after the Super Bowl. But I just, you know, it was so intense leading up to the Super Bowl, all the media stuff. You know, I work from home. I was all over it. I was watching it all stinking day. You know, obviously doing stuff for over at Rams Podcast, hitting up social media. And it just was, it was intense, man. I took it on really strong. And, you know, once the Super Bowl was over, I basically went through the seven stages of grief, my friend, because, right. you know, as I'm sure a lot of people in Rams Nation did, but their grief probably didn't last quite as long. And then it kind of transitioned into, oh, I also have a newborn that I need to pay attention to and all my, you know, jobs I'm doing right now. So I went through the seven stages of grief. So, you know, I started with denial, like everybody, you know, did we waking up in the middle of the night, like, did we really score 3 points? You know, like just having nightmares of Tom Brady and the Super Bowl trophy, and now many months later we're here at the acceptance stage, and here we are heading into the 2019 season. But yeah, dude, after the Super Bowl, on top of just everything else going on, it was just kind of like this a flood of a Rams season being complete. You know what I mean? I just, the day after, I just was like, okay, that is over with, and now I need to just take a stinking break, which obviously I did. I've been, you know, trickling back into Twitter, my personal and Rams podcast. Like I said, I watched the draft, and I've been kind of tweeting a bit about, you know, stuff that the Rams are doing slowly. But yeah, man, after the Super Bowl, and on top of that, honestly, you know, I was heartbroken. If we go to my feelings, I was incredibly heartbroken, as I'm sure everybody was in LA and all the Rams fans around. But it was tough, man. It was tough to just watch that season and get so excited about it and go through that and just have that loss. It was heartbreaking, man. It was heartbreaking the fact that nobody scored a touchdown in three quarters.
Yeah, and it was super heartbroken. And you talk about the seven stages of you know, grief and really coming back to the full circle of acceptance leading into what now obviously rookies getting into the rookie camp and getting the horns on, picking their numbers and off and running in that sense. So kind of from what you've seen so far in this offseason, whether it's through free agency or the draft, where's your confidence level with this team coming into this upcoming season?
Extremely high, man. I mean, I think, you know, like I said, I did watch the draft. I think we did well. It was tough to watch only in the sense that I was obviously checking out, you know, what they actually show on TV in the beginning of the draft and who's going to wear. But it was a while until the Rams actually had a pick. And then we just kept getting pushed back. So I was just watching the draft and nothing was happening for the Rams. But to answer your question, as far as how I feel where we stand going into the season, I feel extremely confident. I mean, I think we've improved. Obviously, I have some concerns, and we can probably chat about those later in the show. For example, Todd Gurley, but I know that we're going to chat about that. So I have some concerns, but as you know, heading into the season, you know, I think confidently we can definitely head to the Super Bowl again, you know, no problem. So, I mean, I wouldn't say no problem, of course. There could be many factors that happen, but dude, we got Cooper Kupp back. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a little bit. The draft went well for us. I'm excited about the people we got, and I'm feeling great about heading into the season. I think we're a slightly improved team than we were last year.
Awesome. So, I mean, I guess that those that time off and really kind of, you know, getting knocked down at the highest peak really hasn't shaken the core of what you think this team is capable of. Obviously, we've got great people at the head of the organization, Sean McVay leading this group, and still a lot of star power. So I'm excited to kind of dive into it. You kind of teased a couple of things that we'll talk about, which I didn't do at the beginning of the show because I was just so damn excited to have you on. So what we'll do is we'll step aside. We're going to take our first break. We're going to be back. We're going to kind of break down some of the concerns, some of the players, position groups, but we'll have all that and more coming up. James Kroger, Bear Motter, Locked On Rams, Friday, right after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Second segment. I've got the man, the myth, the Kroger back with us. It has been way too long since I've said that, so I'll probably say it every time that you're on here again and dig it in about three or four times. That's where it started, the man myth, the Kroger. And I'm stoked to have you on here. We kind of talked a little bit about getting back into the things, taking your time off, kind of expectations moving forward. And you kind of said, I'll hold it to this, but I'll also let you kind of back out of it a little bit. You said Super Bowl doesn't seem to be a problem. So as your expectations coming in, we kind of left on that, but I want to finish before we kind of move on to the next subject. Where do you really, truly, like, what would be okay with you or what would not be okay with you? Is it with this roster? Is it, you know, making the playoffs? Is it a deep run in the playoffs? Or is it like a Super Bowl or bust mindset?
That's a tough question because every Rams fan thinks, oh, we made it there last year. It's Super Bowl or bust. We're LA. You know, that's what we do. But we got to keep in mind people like the Saints. You know, there's a few speed bumps that we would have to go over to get to that Super Bowl. So, you know, I think we're going to win the division. Of course, I don't see any threats there. Seattle, you know, I saw an article the other day about Seattle, talking about Seattle winning the division. It made me laugh. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So the division's kind of an expectation. I would be extremely disappointed if that didn't happen. Deep run in the playoffs is kind of where my aim is right now because playoffs are crazy, man. You never know what's going to happen. We don't know what we're dealing with as far as injuries are concerned and anything, you know how much happens during the NFL season. So I don't want it to be so deep in my shot with the target of Super Bowl or bust. I don't think we're quite there, but I think it's highly likely. So I would say, to answer your question, deep run in the playoffs is kind of my expectation. And obviously Super Bowl would be ideal.
Yeah, I really think with the way that this team has really developed over the last few years that, I mean, last year it felt like Super Bowl or bust with everything that they put into it. So obviously we didn't make the big splashes. We saw, you know, a handful of guys that were really important that take off. So I think deep run in the playoffs is really where this expectation for the team is always consistently trying to be around that NFC championship game. I think that really is the ultimate goal, to get there and have an opportunity to play for the Super Bowl, right? A lot of things have to go right. Even getting to that game, obviously we saw in that game last year, a lot of things have to go right in that game. It's going to help if we can play it at home maybe this year, but winning the division is your first step. And then from there, it's, you know, win a couple games in the playoffs, you get a bye, and all of a sudden you're in the NFC championship game and anything can happen to get to the Super Bowl. So yeah, these expectations for the Rams have been huge over the last couple of years, obviously with Sean McVay and what he's done, but it makes sense. So looking on the other side of that, you know, coming into this season, we just talked about some of the things we're really excited about and, you know, expectations on deep playoff run. But if you look at what are the question marks coming into this season, is there, you know, particular position or player or, you know, what stands out to you that's a little concerning? I mean, we talked about Cooper Kupp yesterday on the podcast as kind of our player breakdown. You know, there's the wide receiver group. Do you think we're weaker than we were last year? Just talk to me a little bit about, you know, what are your concerns with this team then?
Okay, so I think your question might be in two parts. One is concerns. Two, I want to talk about Cooper Kupp. So maybe I'll start with the concerns and then let's chat about a bit about Cooper Kupp. I know you talked about it yesterday, but he's my dude. So, you know, when James Carter comes back on the mic, let's chat about him.
Yeah, you get to talk about whatever you want.
So to answer your question about concerns, honestly, dude, my number one concern, and I'm sure this is popular around Rams Nation, but my number one concern is Todd Gurley. And I'm not sure how much you've talked about this on Locked On Rams the past couple of weeks, but what's going on? You know, how bad is it with that injury? And, you know, as I've stepped away, of course, correct me if I'm wrong or update me if you're like, well, there was an actual report yesterday, James, that came out that explained everything about Todd Gurley. I didn't see it. But as far as, like, you know, getting back into everything right now, talking about concerns, it's Todd Gurley, dude. Like, we saw that in talking about me watching the draft. Well, dude, the second person that we actually drafted is a running back. And on social media, everybody's like, okay, what does this mean? Malcolm Brown sitting back there, you know, Homer Bush's gif, like, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, now we have two backup running backs. Is that a sign that we prioritize that as our second pick in the draft? I mean, what's going on here. It's slightly a mystery. I don't know. I'm sure this happened a while ago, but there was a TMZ video of Todd Gurley leaving a restaurant. He was limping and, you know, they're kind of trying to ask him about it, but you know, Todd Gurley, he's not one to like sit there and talk to the media, but he was limping. And is this one of those things where it's a lot worse than they're saying? I mean, they're being pretty low key about it. And of course, Barry, you know, if something's come out or not, but it's kind of like, reminds me right now, I got the NBA playoffs in the background. It's like Kevin Durant. It's like, oh, he hurt his calf. But according to everybody who knows what happens with Achilles injuries, it looks a lot worse. And all of a sudden, I just got this update saying he's actually going to be out for quite a bit. So I'm extremely worried about Todd Gurley. You know, in the beginning of last season, we were so excited to see what he's going to be able to do. But looking into this season, he is, in a way, he's kind of a nucleus of this offense. And if there's an issue or an injury with him, we just gave him a huge contract last year. You know, it's quite concerning.
Yeah, the contract was just, in a weird way, just poor timing as far as what happened throughout the season. But at the end of the day, if you talked to us, you know, week 13 and said, how's that contract paying out right now? We would have been like, awesome. You know, this guy's MVP candidate right now. You know, he's, you know, he ended up with, what, 19 total touchdowns or something like that. He had, you know, he's in top three in yardage. He sat out the last two games, which kind of dropped him even lower. But you know, he had a really, really great year. He was having highlight reel plays and, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield, scoring that way, also running, you know, running over people. He had an amazing season and then just kind of, you know, we used him a lot. He was, I think, again, in the top three as far as running backs go, as far as carries go. And I think that with the injury, which you're right, it's kind of in a weird way, you know, good comparison to the Kevin Durant, as far as like we don't know, because they're kind of saying like, oh, it's, you know, his knee's a little banged up, but he'll be all right. And then there's the arthritis talk, and we're not going to know until he gets a football helmet on and he's out at practice, or, you know, it's week one, because we're not going to see him in the preseason. That's for sure. We learned that last year, especially from coming off of this injury coming into the season. There's no way we're seeing him. So we're going to see a lot of, you know, the rookie Henderson and Malcolm Brown working back into it. And, you know, we talked about concerns about Malcolm Brown's injury and another reason maybe why they drafted a running back. But, you know, Malcolm Brown was his clavicle. Like, it wasn't like his, you know, he's coming off a knee injury last year. I really expect him to still be kind of the Malcolm Brown that we saw, you know, at the beginning of last year before he got hurt, and hopefully be able to add some, you know, versatility to that group. But again, you know, this team ran a lot of 11 personnel last year, and maybe that's something that they're looking to get out of. You know, if they're not going to have that power horse back that they're going to give 30 carries to, maybe they stay in the same format and they do the hurry up offense and they, you know, just rotate the running backs more. But, you know, I think we're going to see a little bit more of Gurley in that 18 to 22 carries a game, under 25, definitely nothing over 25. I almost want to feel like Sean McVay is going to have like a pitch count for Todd Gurley, especially in the early part of the year, because they want to have him when it counts to the end of the year, when he started to kind of go missing. And, you know, McVay took a lot of that on his shoulders, but a lot had to do with that injury. So I'm with you. There's no new information. You didn't miss an article. You didn't miss any recent TMZ videos or anything like that that are giving us any more information. We're all still in the dark right now on Todd Gurley. And it's probably one of my bigger concerns right now too, is just the big question mark, but I'm excited. I don't think Henderson, the rookie, is going to come in and really, you know, hamper on his style or what he can do. I think it's going to be more of a compliment to him. That's obviously, you know, I'm the glass half full guy right now, but we'll see how it plays out. But what we're going to do is, we kind of went off on that segment and Todd Gurley, so we're going to take a break. We're going to jump on over the other side. I got a couple more questions for you. We'll dive a little bit deeper into a couple more players, talk to you, your feelings on them. This is the Friday edition, Locked On Rams. James Kroger from Rams Podcast is with us. I'm Bear Motter. We'll be right back after this. All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. James Kroger with us. James, you're going to have to come back, my man, because we've got a list of like 13 things to talk about. We're on like number three. So I think this hopefully means that now that you dusted off the mic, that, you know, you don't want to make that a routine where you constantly have to always be dusting off. You'll just hopefully come back and join us, because I know I've gotten people here on the Locked On listener group that have reached out to me and said, where the heck is James? So I brought you back. Hopefully we can get to a few more things today, but we'll pick some of this up again. Guys, don't forget, If you don't know by now, you can follow him at jkroger3. I'm LA_ramblingbear. You can also follow at Locked On Podcast and Rams Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the social medias. You can find the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, and my new favorite streaming app, which is Himalaya. All Locked On Podcasts can be found there as well. So go check it out, download it, let me know what you think about it. Usually say that in the first segment. You guys are probably thankful that that didn't happen. But here we are in the third, getting my plugs in per usual. So, James, we kind of left on the Todd Gurley thing, and we were talking more concern of Todd Gurley. But as I finished my little rant to finish that segment, was I started getting really excited about Henderson being a part of this offense. You know, from what you've seen in film and through the draft talk, how excited are you about him, and what really do you think he could bring to the offense?
Well, you know, you're not the only one excited about Henderson, Bear, because what I'm seeing is that I'm seeing video from the draft saying, showing Les Snead talking about Henderson adding that, quote, Kamara element. And as we were talking about Todd Gurley and how many times he's going to get the ball and, you know, going after the passes, well, Alvin Kamara is, you know, goes out for quite a few passes as well. He gets over 200 touches during the season. So, you know, that's quite a bold statement coming from Les Snead. I'm Nick Bay sitting right there. But that kind of opens the question, like, okay, well, Todd Gurley was doing that for a while. There's a few games last year where Todd Gurley was like our number one, number two receiver when it came to overall yards. So, you know, what does that mean? Is that kind of like, okay, we need to replace both those elements that Todd Gurley adds to the team? And it even looks like they were trying to draft him earlier than they actually did. So, you know, saying the Alvin Kamara comparison is quite the statement about Henderson. And I'm wondering, you know, what does that mean when it comes to this offense? You know, you've been talking about cup return and the formations we're going to see out there. Well, who's going to be prioritized there? Is it going to be Gurley or Henderson? And then also, do you know, are we going to do something like a two-back set, or are we going to add some more additional receivers, maybe four wide receiver sets or two tight end sets, having, you know, Sean McVay with his tight end background, but we haven't seen him utilize the tight ends too much this season. So it kind of makes you scratch your head and wonder how much they're going to open up this offense and whether or not we're going to evolve and change the formations that we're looking at offensively, be in that sense, utilizing Henderson as much as we can.
Yeah. And if you look back and you're talking about the usage that Todd Gurley was having, and I'll go back, I'll just rattle off since 2015, he had 229 carries in 2015. In 16, he had 278, 2017, 279. And then last year, with sitting out the last two games, had 256 carries. He's basically averaging over the last couple of years, 18 to 19 carries per game. I really expect, with obviously the addition of Henderson, Malcolm Brown being healthy, that, you know, if you're ideally, if you're the Rams, you want to get him around the 200 mark of attempts and give those other 50 attempts to, you know, Malcolm Brown and Henderson, and bring that average down so we can get some more longevity, one, out of the season, and then two, just out of that contract that we just gave him. You know, we want to see him not just next year, but the year after that. I still think that he can be, you know, impactful with less carries. So we'll have to keep an eye on that number as the season goes and how it's comparing and things like that, because you talked about, you know, Sean McVay is a creative offensive mind, and he's going to find ways to get playmakers the ball. And I think that was the addition here with Henderson, is just get another playmaker on the field. We saw when Cooper Kupp went down, I think after like week eight, that production started to slip. Our third down percentages were going down. We had some people fill in, but not to the magnitude of where Cooper Kupp was playing at that moment. So we'll see if this shakes up things with 11 personnel. But we talked about it yesterday, but I know you're a Cooper Kupp guy. You mentioned it earlier, so I want to give you a little more opportunity to talk about him coming back. So, you know, your expectations for Cooper Kupp, how high are they? Are they, you know, coming right back into where he was, or, you know, maybe even drop a stat line on what you would see at the end of the year that you'd be happy with? And then just kind of Cooper back on the roster and healthy.
Dude, okay, yeah. You know, Kupp is one of, if not my favorite player. We'd have our bet going with the Seahawkers podcast, and you asked for a Kupp jersey. I might ask for a Kupp jersey too. So obviously, we're fans. Maybe one of us could get the Kupp linebacker jersey. One of us can get the Kupp wide receiver jersey. We'll see.
Yeah, you want you want that practice squad jersey?
maybe if I was buying it myself.
Yeah. Sorry, Kupp, but that's probably where you're going, if anywhere.
Good point. But yes, dude, I am extremely excited about Cooper Kupp. You asked me earlier in the show about my expectations for this team this year and whether or not it's Super Bowl or bust or how far we're going to get. Well, Cooper Kupp adds such a major element to this offense, and not worrying about injuries, the outcome is looking amazing with Cooper Kupp back in the rotation, because we know that he's one of Jared Goff's favorite receivers. Cooper Kupp, he's one of those players that just has a special element. He's an amazing route runner. His hands have been improving. I can't wait to see what he's going to bring to the table and what he's going to do to expand this offense, because, you know, he missed a lot of games last season and he very much was missed. However, we saw Josh Reynolds step it up and sort of take his place. And Josh Reynolds was great. He's a completely different player. We talked about that on Rams Podcast and a few of our shows. You know, the difference is Josh Reynolds is taller, not as quick of a route runner, makes big catches. But he had 29 catches for 402 yards and 5 touchdowns last season over, I believe, 7 or 8 games. And if you look at that, you know, it's obviously not impressive for a full season. But if you do the math and look at what that would be like for a 16-start season, 58 catches, 804 yards, 10 touchdowns. It's pretty good. So you kind of question what's Cooper Kupp coming back going to do for the receiver core. Obviously Reynolds isn't going to see quite as many snaps because, you know, we talked about McVay loving that 11 personnel, utilizing 3 wide receivers, but would this allow him to potentially open it up and do 4 wide receivers, or are we going to see some different changes? Because just recently, McVay and Snead hinted at that they're going to be using more packages than their typical 11 personnel in 2019. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to open up and add additional wide receivers, including Reynolds. So, you know, we're just talking about Henderson and whether or not they're going to do 2 running backs or what we're going to do with the tight ends. So I do expect them to mix it up. I hope that Reynolds is able to get the ball a little bit more. But getting back to the impact of Cooper Kupp, man, if I just think the Super Bowl would have been a different game if he was there. I hope he remains healthy. But I think he, you know, the involvement of Jared Goff throughout his time with the Rams.
Yeah, I'm excited to have that three-headed monster of the wide receiving core back together. And like you said, being able to throw Reynolds in there. And hopefully Sean McVay does kind of open it up a little bit. We really loved that 11 personnel that they ran over 95% of the time or whatever it was. But teams started, especially at the end of the season, started kind of figuring it out a little bit more. The Bears really shut it down. The Eagles, you know, found a way to really compete with us. And shut it down. Obviously, the Lions even did pretty well at it. And then in the Super Bowl, the New England Patriots held us to 3 points. Yes, the game might have been different with Cooper Kupp in multiple of those games, but he wasn't there, and you never know how injuries is going to go. So I think stockpiling offensive weapons like this right now is good for the Rams, and we'll have to see. But I'm really curious to see what McVay's done in this offseason. We talked about me and you and how we approached it, but I had seen from I follow his girlfriend on Instagram. And
I know you did.
What an ugly duck, right? I mean, come on. No. Yeah, right. But
and I only know you do because I do.
Yeah, and I really do it for research purposes. You know, she'll post up pictures of them and stuff like that. But they were on vacation, and she's like, you know, scrolling over to him, and he's like, got his head in a book, and she said he's, you know, looking at plays and stuff, and it's like, I just can't wait to see what he's really come up with. With adding some of the talent, with understanding that Todd Gurley isn't going to be one to use, you know, 250 times this upcoming season, and how they're going to shake things up, what you're going to do with cutback and all those things that kind of play into it. And then obviously knowing that our offensive line is different. So you can't really think about how dominant they were up front. You can't expect that. So you got to think about how can you get the ball out quick? How can you, you know, maybe start to do more traps and pulls and different things to kind of move people around and to use, you know, take advantage of, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of what our roster looks like right now. So many questions coming into it. And I'm going to leave you with this, and we'll leave with one last question. The Rams are notoriously known. We talked a little bit about this throughout the week, but the Rams are notoriously known for extending players before the season starts. You know, obviously we did it with Todd Gurley. We did it with Brandon Cooks. We did it with Havenstein. We did it with a bunch of people. There's a couple people that are on the radar for a long-term extension, Jared Goff being one of them coming into. We picked up his fifth-year option, so there's that. But at the same time, do we want to get him before, you know, more quarterbacks continue to break the mold and we're trying to find him the best amount of money? Marcus Peters, another guy, picked up his fifth-year option, but it's coming into his last year. If we want to lock him in long-term, coming off of, I don't want to say a down season, but definitely not his best season in the NFL. And then even one we mentioned yesterday, Corey Littleton, coming into his last year. He's on a really cheap restricted free agent tender right now. I think it's like $3.2 million. He's another guy, young core, that we might want to add long term. If you had to pick one of those guys or even another guy that might be up for an extension, would you pick any of them to extend before the season, or would you go in and kind of roll the dice with all of them and say, nah, I'm not ready to give up long term money right now on any of those guys?
Well, I'll kind of answer your question in two ways. So one, who would I extend or sign? Probably be Jared Goff. I'd get into that. And who would I be a little bit worried about? Well, Marcus Peters, like you said, it wasn't his best season. And although he's been trying out new roles as maybe a weatherman lately, I don't think he killed it at that either. But Marcus Peters, while he did win me a jersey this season, I will say, even though Talib was out for a while and that, you know, had an impact on Marcus Peters' game, I will say I don't feel 100% confident saying like, yeah, this is our guy moving forward. Let's do the extension. Jared Goff, on the other hand, he is our guy. I mean, third season in, we get to the Super Bowl with him. Yeah, he only scored 3 points. But having said that, we continue to see him getting better and better. His accuracy is, he's got an amazing accuracy and is continuing to improve. I think he can get in his own head a little bit and high pressure situations like the Super Bowl. And you know, he just, he's Goff, you know, he's got that kind of ditzy Cali boy vibe.
So you're telling me you'd extend Jared Goff, but you're on the fence about who you want for your free jersey? You're not going to, the number 16 doesn't attract you at all?
Dude, you know, yeah, I probably would go for a golf jersey. I mean,
I'm just throwing you under the bus. Just, you know, we just talked about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to bring this and throw it right back on his plate. Yeah. We got to get that figured out with the Seahawkers podcast and get those ordered. And I got to get some, I think there was a second part of, if you guys are catching up, and we talked about it a lot last year, but we did the bet. Obviously, James was an interception bet involving Marcus Peters. Mine was a straight out record bet, which I think I had by like almost week 12. It felt like wrapped up, but we both get jerseys. And then I think they've got to run like a 3-cone drill or something random like that. Yep. And, or I think I get to write like a short 30-second script that they have to read out loud. And so I've got to come up with something that, you know, makes us feel good, maybe probably making fun of Russell Wilson and somehow, and I don't know what I'm going to put together, but we got to get that going. And before the season is here, James, dude, I'm so glad you finally said yes and got your duster out and cleaned up the mic and came on, because this brings me back, my brother. I know we are in two separate rooms right now, you know, an hour and a half apart from each other. You're down in beautiful San Clemente. And I now live in a beach town myself in Redondo Beach, but we're apart. Redondo, we used to do this right next to each other. Cheers and beers. Right before we started. So we'll have to get together again soon. I'll come down there. You come up here and we'll get a face to face again and, you know, keep it going. So I appreciate it so much, my man. Look forward to talking to you, and thanks for coming on.
Dude, thanks for having me on. I just so jacked to be back on the mic, and I think I'm going to keep doing this. You know, I think I'm going to keep at it.
I think you got something good here, my man. I think you got something good. But Rams Nation, you know what it is. Until next time. Peace. I make them so mad, they got no